Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
After 9 o'clock here on the West Coast. Joining me from the center of the country is the one and only Pete Kimball Holmes. Kim, good morning. How are you?
Great. Good morning, Marines everywhere. My pleasure.
What's up with that? What are you fired up about?
Oh, all I can say is, up, big, bad, beautiful rocket ship, up in that stratosphere. Let me hear you loud and clear. Hey, mommy-o's, hey, daddy-o's, this is your astronaut, Kimbo. I'm back on the scene in my rocket machine going, oop-oopy-doo-ba-doo-wah, oop-oopy-doo, oop-oopy-doo.
Where did you hear that? Where does that come from?
That comes from a disc jockey in Oakland, California, back in the 60s, his name was Roscoe, and he used to wear this, I think it was a silver or gold LeMay jumpsuit all the time. And that was his opening gambit, and he had an album of oldies that he put out, and that was his intro. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, and I memorized it. And every once in a while, I'll pull it out and freak the people out with great joy.
He's recited that thing for a few years, so I never heard where it actually came from. So it's nice to get a little history about that. First of all, give us a report on your weather. We always follow your weather up there in the Northern Plains. So is spring?
2 days ago, it was in the high 70s. And yesterday, it dropped 20 degrees. Today, it'll be in the middle 50s. It's raining this weekend, Friday or Saturday and Sunday. Sun's out right now, but next week it's going to start jumping into the 70s, and we're in the groove now.
Oh, really? Is that how that works?
Yeah, it's not freezing, so baby, it's great. It's all sweet.
All right. So anything significant we should know about that in your life that's gone on the last week? Anything important? Any updates?
No updates, and I got a clean bill of health from my kidney doctor yesterday.
Oh, that's good.
And he said functionings are normal, and everything's good in my hood. So my salt intake is down.
Oh, that sucks.
I can still eat salt. I just I've keeping a real close eye on it over the last year or so because it gets fluid in my lung. It builds fluid up in my lungs, and then I end up in the hospital, and that sucks.
Well, that does suck, but salt is, come on. Salt makes beer. You're a Heineken guy, but, you know, also potato chip is a salt holder, right? All popcorn is a salt holder because they go so good with carbonated drinks, salt does. So.
Hello. I'm right in the same page you are. I just have to pick my times when I indulge in salt. That's all. And we are making fajitas this weekend, so there'll be some salt involved in that.
What's the sugar substitute that you told me about?
Stevia.
Just so everybody knows, Stevia. Kim told me about the sugar substitute that he likes and uses, I bought it, and I take it with me wherever I go now, just so you know, just for the record. And I would recommend it. It's, what, S-C-V-I-A?
Yes.
Yeah, it's normally green.
I call them my green units.
Yeah.
They're little green packages, and they're dynamite. Yeah, they're really good.
It's good. Most artificial sweeteners have a bad aftertaste with them, and this does not.
Yeah.
This is not, so I would recommend it. Stevia, S-E-V-I-A or Stevia, I'm not sure about the pronunciation, but either way, I can tell you this. One of your fans called me during the week and said, you know what, I'll tell this story publicly. I told Kim a couple of days ago, but he said, you know, when I first started listening and you would do the food segment, I wondered, why the hell is he doing that? He said, and now it's one of my favorite segments that you do on a regular basis. And getting to hear about the chef's history, he said, was absolutely hilarious. I listened to it twice, and he said, you know, it just reminded me of the bygone days of the way, you know, the country used to be. He talked about hitchhiking from, I want to say, New York to Florida, and he got 37 different rides. And I said, 37 rides? And he said to me, and this is going to stun most people, Mac, it was before the interstates were built. I said, oh.
Yep.
And he said, you got on a highway, and you went to the highway, and then it was like the series of highways that connected, you know, up and down the East Coast. And you went as far as somebody would take you. You hopped out and stuck your thumb out, put your sign out there, and you went again. But he said, it brought back a lot of good memories of me, you know.
Yeah.
How are you going to get to Florida? Well, I'm going to hitch. and people did it all over the country.
And at my first time was when I got out of high school in 1964, and I think it was June. I had a friend drop me off on the Oakland side of the Bay Bridge. And U.S. 50 went to my left. U.S. 40 went straight towards Reno. And I had both hands out. I didn't care because Cincinnati or Hamilton, Ohio was where it was headed, was about, I don't know, 30 miles south of U.S. 40 and about 40 miles north of U.S. 50. So there, this guy picked me up. Took me all the way to Ohio. I made it in one ride.
That's good hitching.
That's great hitching, lucky whacker I was. But there's several things you had to do back then. Was you had to dress presentable. You didn't have to wear a coat and tie, but you had to, wear.
Yeah, not look like slacks. Somebody. Not look like somebody who was threatening, right? If you were a college kid or a veteran,
yeah,
that was
you
hitchhiking.
Looked preppy. I looked preppy, and when you get in the car, you don't fall asleep. You converse, and sometimes they say, "Hey, I want to doze off. Can you drive?" I said, "Absolutely." You bet. And so you get behind the wheel and you drive, and it was a great experience for me.
Well, and going to Europe the same way, you could stay in youth hostels and you didn't need a
you didn't need
a shit ton of money to go to Europe. Because you were going to hitch and you were going to stay in youth hostels and you were going to make whatever money you had last.
That's what you did.
Here's an email entitled "The Chef is Smoking." Good morning, Mac. Whatever the chef is smoking, I want some. Dave in Vacaville.
He's from Vacaville, California.
Vacaville, California.
I remember going, you come around this bridge on the interstate near Vacaville, and all you could smell were onions.
That's a thing of the
Did
past.
Did you ever experience that?
Oh, are you kidding me? My dad. Right.
I loved it. I just looked so forward to driving through Vacaville.
Between
19... Smoking onions.
Between 19...
The little onions are a little hard to keep lit.
Yeah, no. Between 1968 and 1972, my dad was with the Oakland A's, 68, 69, 70, got fired at the end of 1970. He's with the Giants in 1971 and 72. And only in, I want to say, I don't know, there was only a couple years that we stayed down there for the summers. We stayed in an apartment in 1968. We stayed in an apartment in Oakland someplace. And the reason I remember that, I remember watching the Democratic Convention at night with my mom in 68, and that's when they were having the riots in Chicago.
Yep, that's right.
And so I remember staying up late and watching that with my mom. And then we lived in a house, I think when my dad managed the A's, because it was a nice house. But it was kind of up the hill from on Lakeshore Drive. In Oakland. And so Oakland has this lake, man-made lake, and then it kind of goes up towards the hills in Berkeley, but we lived before Berkeley. And so we lived up in this house up there. But the rest of the time, I'll relate this to Vacaville, we would commute. We would drive to the ballpark, and then we'd drive home after the game. And so...
Yes.
I-80, I got to know that thing like the back of my hand. There was a rest stop there called, and there was a restaurant there called the Nut Tree. And
yes, and it has an airport there.
It does. It has an airport on the other side of the interstate. But the Nut Tree had, it was a restaurant, and I don't know, it had some little amusement park looking thing there. I've never stopped or been in it because we didn't stop. And Oakland was, I want to say, about 68 miles from my house, and then Candlestick Park was across the Bay Bridge and then down the Bayshore Freeway and on the way to San Francisco International Airport, and then you got off and you got off and went to the stick. I drove that every chance I could go to a ball game with my dad, which is all summer, and sit there and either read a book and go to the ball and you didn't have to look around to know you were in Vacaville because it was onion country. But Dave said that's a thing of the past. All those onion fields are now, Vacaville, Fairfield, all those cities all got, they used to be small towns and most of them were agricultural towns in the valley and they all have been crushed by the housing demands, that have sent people outside of San Francisco and Oakland. Because the price of living there is so high that now people live in Sacramento and get up and commute every morning. And they get not only Sacramento, but all the way to the foothills to, you know, Rockland and whatnot. They all get up in the morning and commute. And so they say that's a terrible commute. But yeah, so you're thinking of a bygone day when when Vacaville had onions. But because he said he and his wife are thinking about moving, selling their house and moving someplace they can afford a little bit cheaper as he retires. So. Anyway. All right, so we're talking about fajitas today. How did you come about, first of all, I want to talk about the whole, you're a huge fan of the Cook's Illustrated series, yes?
Yes, yeah, magazine, yes.
Right, so it's a magazine, but they also have cookbooks, yes?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
And I've been preaching this, magazine and cookbooks for a few years now on the radio.
Right.
And my wife bought this, Mexican favorites, Cook's Illustrated and, limited special edition. And I've been looking at it, all week and I'm thinking, I'm not going to eat anything but Mexican food and a few steaks and some hamburger this summer.
Now let me ask you about the book.
Healthy food?
Let me ask you about the book. Is it a magazine, like a monthly periodical, or is that somebody's going to find on the newsstand? Is it a hardbound book? Tell me what you're talking about.
They're magazines.
Okay, magazines. So
and every once in a while, they'll put out a book, of collection of different types of, cuisine. Sometimes it's vegetables or steaks or any number of topics. But, basically it's a magazine that comes out every other month. And I get it religiously. The recipes are extremely easy to follow. I sent the, Mac has it on the web, the grilled chicken fajitas. And it's, real simple. And, the recipes are, they have a test kitchen and they must do, you know, 20 or 30 times. I know when Beth did our cookbook, for Sanders sauces, we tested the recipes a dozen times and, you know, everybody had to eat stuff. And, some of it was good and then we finally got it to the right where we wanted it. But yeah, it's a real good magazine. I highly recommend it. They have little tips on what kind of oils to use or pots and pans, everything, spices, and they research it thoroughly. So what they recommend is usually worth, following. And, you know, they have, cheap equipment that's great, like pots and pans, and they have expensive stuff that's great too. But you don't have to buy the high price spread, man. You know, there's lots of ways to go.
All right. So first of all, let's talk about Mexican food because it's my favorite. It's the kind of food I probably eat the most.
Yes.
Be told. And, your favorite Mexican dish is what?
My favorite Mexican dish is a enchilada.
What kind?
Usually a chicken enchilada. I like onion and cheese enchilada, real simple. And I like the tomatillo sauce, the green sauce, and I like the red sauce. And usually I'll get it the Christmas tree, which means, it's half green sauce and half red sauce. Cause I get to have all the flavors.
There you go.
And that's the kind of guy I am. But,
there's a place, It's called Ralph's Mexican Food, right?
Yeah.
Ralph is the cook. He's a Mexican dude. And it's a family restaurant, and it might be a half a mile from my house. And
Beautiful.
You go up there. There's a little walk-up window that's encased in glass, and then they have a veranda that you could sit outside and eat on. And first of all, they have the best rice and beans I've ever had. They taste delicious. A lot of times people just kind of slap that stuff together. I don't know what they do to their rice and beans, but I was going to go by there yesterday and get some, but I didn't have time. But they do my favorite, what I order the most when I go to eat Mexican. First, you have to have guacamole, right? So
yes.
If you're going to do Mexican, you got to have guacamole and chips. So, I'll either eat if the seafood enchilada that you have people out here make,
ooh,
if they have that and it looks good, I'll get that. If they don't have that, or for whatever reason it doesn't tickle my fancy, then go to plan B is chicken enchiladas. Now, Ralph's has a chicken enchilada with mole sauce.
Oh, baby.
Then, son, let me tell you something. That is something to write home about. It is absolutely spectacular. But again, the rice and beans with mole sauce and the chicken enchilada, it's good stuff.
You're in the front row.
Oh yeah. So I'm not so much a fajita guy. Patrick's a fajita guy. Colleen is more of a taco person. But I'm a chicken enchilada guy. I love them.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, to me, it's like, give me the house special. What's your specialty? And do that with chicken. And I'll eat that. But I went to a restaurant and this is years ago. This is in the 80s, but there's a restaurant in Laguna Beach called Las Brisas. It's on the hills. Overlooking the water, it's a beautiful place. And I had the seafood enchilada there, and it was absolutely delicious. Enchilada in white sauce with avocado and onion. My God. Hello. Yeah, shrimp, crab. It was good. It was good. And so that kind of, everywhere I go, that's the first thing I check on the menu at a good restaurant is where, and let me ask you a question about menus. Does it say anything where they put that item in their menu, how important it is to their revenue stream? In terms of it is. Explain that to me. Because here's what I've learned as a schmo. If the seafood enchilada is high on their menu, I get it. If it's like the third or fourth entry under enchiladas, I don't get it.
Yeah. Usually the most sought after dishes are in the upper right. The least sought after dishes are in the lower left on the menu. And that's how it reads, because people's eyes go right to the top of the menu and usually the right side of the menu. You know, you have an app. I don't know if it's everything is on one page or if you have a few pages, but usually you start out with appetizers and things like that. And the first couple appetizers are usually the ones that are the most popular. But when you get to entrees, it's usually the stuff on the upper right that get the biggest push and the most sales.
Okay. So.
And that's just. When you lay out a menu, that's how I was taught to lay a menu out.
Okay, so if I see under enchiladas, I see like the chicken enchilada, the beef enchilada, some other enchilada, and below that the seafood enchilada, it's not pictured, it's not displayed under house specials, or it's not displayed under, you know, on the top of the menu as this is one of our features, best to stay away from it. Well, I would say stay away from it, but you know what I'm saying. It's not
so much stay away, but just, you know, first of all, you said it right. earlier. What's your special? What's the special today? Because the specials today are made that day, and usually they're the best. Whatever it is, you go for it. What's your soup of the day? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They make it that day. Yes, sometimes the lower the dish is, the least popular it is.
Got it.
But you know, they'll
well,
have like
here's what I found. Here's my experience. Okay, so if you feature that, okay, what kind of shrimp do you think you get? You get fresh shrimp, right? You know,
in
a seafood enchilada, you'll get it. It'll be sliced shrimp. You'll get fresh crab, right? You'll get good crab, you know, and whatever white sauce and cheese they put in there, it's normally really good. As you go further down the menu, what kind of shrimp do you get? Canned, right?
Yeah. Or frozen.
Yeah. And then smaller shrimp, frozen. And then you get, you know, crab, not fresh stuff. And so anyway, if you're a seafood enchilada connoisseur like I am, you can tell that stuff. Yeah, no, but again,
if it says on the menu, oh, bay shrimp, turn around and start running.
Really?
Bay shrimp are these little tiny shrimp that are like 200 to a pound. I mean, they're just little teeny things. and you want a big succulent shrimp, that they've had to peel in the vein and then cook. And then you'll be in the front row. But, don't be afraid to ask questions. Well, is this shrimp fresh or fresh frozen or what? Or does it, the shrimp come out of a can? Tell me about your seafood. How fresh is it? Where is it from? Ask those questions, folks. You're putting this food in your body and you want the damn best food you can get.
That's right.
And the freshest.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right. Now, this is just like Joe Schmo. Now, my technique, and I've told you this before, for, you know, like selecting, especially Mexican food places to eat, is when you see fat people standing in line, you note that on your Google app. Fat people standing in line, investigate restaurant. You put that in your map, right? Because fat people don't stand in line for bad food. Okay, so but I'd love to go to like small, one of a kind places, especially Mexican places in Southern California, and check out their stuff. There's a chain of taco places in Southern California called Pedro's Tacos. And I don't know how many places they have. They might only have two or three of them, but they do a California, might be a California burrito, and it's to die for. It is white sauce, big fresh shrimp. It is good. It is good. So anyway, I'm kind of a connoisseur, but we're going to switch gears.
A killer burrito is worth its weight in gold.
It's too much. It's a lot. Yeah. It's too much food, though.
Well, only half of it. You know, you got two meals out of one of those burritos. They use a damn 12-inch tortilla.
Yeah.
And easily. You've got rice and beans. And whatever meat you want, meat or chicken or seafood, whatever in the hell they have,
everything.
And they're not shy about loading it up.
Oh my God!
And then they'll put cheese and onions and pico de gallo and I mean my God! And then the art form is to watch them wrap the damn thing.
Yeah, you got to be a weightlifter. You got to be a weightlifter.
Wrap it in foil usually, and then they'll wrap it again. And cut it in half.
Right.
And so you have at it.
Yeah, now watching that, I mean, what is it, Qdoba? And there's another one.
Chipotle.
Chipotle all over the country. I mean, those are huge.
Yeah, Chipotle's make great burritos. Yeah. Oh, my God.
But they're huge. My kids get them. It's like, how do you even get your mouth on that thing? It's too fat. So, yeah, but they do because they got big mouths. Yeah. Some of them listen, so yeah, I'm talking to you. All right, And I have to say that my son Patrick got engaged last weekend. So congratulations. Congratulations to P. Diddy on his engagement to the lovely Sarah. So Patrick's buddy saw one of Patrick's buddies yesterday, and he was giving Patrick a little bit of grief. Now, when you get engaged, you know, you do like an announcement and it goes out on the internet, and there's Patrick on a knee at by the Jefferson Memorial in front of the waiting pool.
I've been there many times.
And he said, he caught a little grief for that. I said, as well he should, man. As well he should. But hey, I don't know that he had any say in that matter. All right, right here. This is where you're going to get on your knee. Do it, son. She's a lovely girl, smart girl. And so congratulations to both of them. So big news last weekend, but couldn't say anything till the announcement went out. So yeah, Patrick started washing, as a worker, started washing dishes at Kim's restaurant. And,
yes, he did. He was a great one too.
Yeah.
Both your boys were great. My only regret is I didn't get a shot at Corleen.
cool.
Because I would have had her running the floor. Her older brother, John, was as good a server as I've ever had. But she would have been better.
Well, Kim, I mean, truth be told, wanted to sell the restaurant, his restaurant, to John. Johnny would be great at this. I said, I don't want him to do that. That's a horrible life. You can't have a family life. And Kim was like, yeah, I know. But still, he would do this. He would do this. It would be awesome. I said, yeah.
Yep.
My oldest worked for Kim for about 10 years.
10 years, exactly. Started at 15 and went into the service at 25. Yep.
Yeah.
He was great. He was great. But Patrick, where is he getting married?
I'm not sure they have. Oh, it'll be in, she's from the Towson, Baltimore area. You're familiar with that, so.
Yes,
so
I am.
I would assume up someplace up there, so in Maryland. So you'll be invited. So
I can't wait, because I'm going to do everything in my power to get to the wedding.
All right.
That will be a soiree to attend.
It will, and you know his friends will make it fun, and
John's wedding was magnificent, I thought.
Yeah. Well, John's wedding. Kim, we had the rehearsal dinner for John's wedding at Kim's place.
Yep.
Which was a ton of fun, because, my family has tons of memories of Kim's joint. We used to sit in the back at one table, or, in the front at the Cloud, but we used to love sitting in the back because Kim could come back and hang out and not too many people see him. And the kitchen was right there, and our son would be working most of the time we'd be in there. So we could say hi to him and say hi to Joe.
Yep.
Joe just had another baby. So,
little girl.
Yeah. So the rehearsal dinner there, again, we had so many family memories, in that restaurant, with Kim. And, so it was awesome, but no, congratulations to Patrick and Sarah. And Patrick getting on with his life. So anyway, good stuff. All right. You ready to talk about fajitas?
That's good. Yeah. The article you have, on your website is very self-explanatory.
Okay, it's not there yet. It's not there yet. So,
okay. Well, when you get it up.
Well, hold on. Here's what people are going to see. Beth, she sent me two pictures of the one of the ingredients and two of the recipe. So that's what Kim's going to talk about. So you can listen now, and then you can go to the page, and you can, you know what? What the hell? What am I waiting for? Marriage? What am I saving it for marriage? Neither one of these two podcasts have audio with them, which is probably good. That's why I wasn't going to publish them. No, I'll publish, I just published the, if you're following along on your scorecard, I just published, if you go to the website, you'll see the podcast for today with no audio. Click on that and you'll find everything Kim's talking about. So go ahead, Kim.
Okay, you have chicken breasts. What you do is you take the boneless, skinless chicken breast and you pound it to about a half an inch, less than a half an inch. Okay, you flatten them out, and then you throw them in there's a marinade there. You put all those ingredients in this bag, and then you drop the chicken breasts in there, and Ziploc the bag, a 1 gallon freezer bag, or Ziploc bag, and then make sure that you slosh it around, and then you put it in the fridge. And I personally, when you have a Ziploc bag with liquid in it, you still put it in a little sheet pan underneath to line it in case it leaks. You never know sometimes. But they can stay in the fridge for up to 24 hours and marinate them. So you can do that the day before. Then you take I like red peppers and green peppers, and you quarter them. And you seed them and take the stems out and the white little fiber inside.
Right.
And so you've got four pieces with each pepper. And then you take a red onion, you peel that skin off, and then you cut the onion into half-inch slices. They're thick. They're real big. And then...
Okay, so hold on. Half-inch.
Yes.
So they're half-inch... Square.
They're rings. They're solid rings that are half inch thick.
Oh man, that is a lot of onion. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
You'll understand why in a minute. And then you salt and pepper them and rub them with a little bit of oil. You have your tortillas that, you know, you can, if they're, they're raw tortillas, flour tortillas. You can cook those on the grill for about 20 seconds aside. But we're going to use a gas grill. That's the easiest way to do this, or your big green egg, or a char grill. You have the charcoal coals about 3/4 away around. But I'm going for today talk about a gas grill because
okay.
That's what I have.
All right.
Now, you turn on all the burners on high. Okay? So I have three burners. The primary burner where it first lights, that's, you turn them all three on high, put the lid down, takes about 15 minutes to get up to temp, to hot as it will go. And then you lift it up and you turn. You leave the primary burner on high, and then you turn the other two burners down to medium. Medium now.
Medium.
Low medium. The grill's going to be super hot anyway, but you want that temperature to go down because your peppers and onions are going to cook faster. So you have a lower temperature for the peppers and onions and a hotter temperature for the chicken, raging hot. And you take it out of the Ziploc bag. You kind of let the liquid drain off, and you throw the chicken on the grill. And then they're on one side. The two burners are on medium. You put the onions and the peppers, skin side down for the peppers. And you cook those peppers and onions about 8 to 12 minutes, and you turn turn them every 3 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes. You flip them. They'll get charred, kind of blackened, but not so bad. But you flip them, and then the chicken you flip in about 4 to 6 minutes, depending on how thick they are. If you get them down to a half inch, you're good to go. About 4 to 6 minutes, just check and make sure they get the nice marking on them, and then flip them over.
Okay.
Just once. When the chicken's done, you take them off the burner, you put them on a cutting board, and you put a foil tent over them, and you let them rest for about 5 to 10 minutes. Okay? And then you take the peppers off, and you cut them in 1/4 inch length strips. You know, you have a quarter of a pepper, you've got 4 of those. You cut them lengthwise for about 1/4 inch wide. And then you take and put them in a separate dish or on a platter. If you have one big platter, you have those, the red and green peppers stacked up. And then you take the onions off and you separate the rings. You know, you'll have a big solid chunk circle of onion and you separate the wings. I mean, the rings and another separate area.
Right.
And then, there's a picture there that has a, radish, oh God, what's it called? A spicy pickled radish, which is one of the things you want to put on your fajita. And that's not on there, but I'm going to give you the menu. It's 10 radishes sliced thin, 1/2 cup of lime juice, 1/2 jalapeno sliced thin, 1 teaspoon of sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of salt. You mix it all together. And you can let stand for 30 minutes before you serve, or you can do that a day ahead and keep it in the fridge overnight if you want. So there you go. And then you take the chicken and you cut diagonally. Now you have a chicken breast and it's kind of an oval. And you put that down, the oval, and you cut across the grain. The grain runs lengthwise on the chicken breast. You don't want to cut it lengthwise. You want to cut it on a dais, diagonally, across the chicken breast. And then if you reserved about a quarter cup of the marinade before you put it in the chicken in the marinade, you stir that up again, and you take a couple of tablespoons, you pour it over the chicken, and toss it together, and then put it on a platter or a bowl, and or on this a massive tray with all the other fixings together. And then you drizzle a little bit of that marinade over the onions and the peppers. And there you have it, my friend. Fajitas.
You know, I don't know anybody. Well, I shouldn't say I don't. I can't off the top of my head. I can't think of anybody who eats radishes. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I love them. I absolutely love them. I buy radishes. They're in every salad I make. But you got to slice them thin. If you wanted to pickle them, that's just a little, sweet and sour hit. Not necessary at all. And of course, you want to have your guacamole or your pico de gallo, sour cream. And basically you take a little chicken, you know, a little onion, a little pepper, and you're making a taco, basically, but It's a fun thing to do, to fix a big platter of this, and people sitting around helping themselves. It's just another way to do it. And I thought you might be interested for people with grills to get that smoky charcoal flavor on the chicken and vegetables. It's pretty cool.
And it is kind of a low maintenance meal, right? Because you take that stuff, you prepare it, you put it out, and everybody does their own thing.
Yes, yes, and you'll see a little note about Worcestershire sauce, and they recommend Lee and Perrin.
Yes,
LEAPERRIN, Lee and Perrin's. There's an S on the end of that, and. And it helps with the salty and the smoky flavor of the marinade. It's, you know, initially it was a steak sauce to put on steak.
Right.
But it's all equally as good in the marinade itself.
The radish thing never ever appealed to me. Here's an email for you, Mac. Fajita's always on flour tortilla, yes?
Yes. Good call. Yes, it is. You want them to bend, and, you know, you can fold them in half like a taco and eat them that way, or you can roll them up. It depends on how much stuff you put in the tortilla. But, yes, flour tortillas are the ones to do it. And my wife bought this brand of raw tortillas that we cook first. We put them on the grill for about 20 seconds aside. And
what do you mean raw tortilla? That's just flour. That's just the flour and mix, right? So you buy it like that. It's still
no,
like that?
No. They're rounds. They just haven't been cooked.
Oh, okay.
You buy them in the freezer section. And you thaw them out and then put them on a flat, you know, cast iron skillet one at a time, or if you have a grill on medium heat where the vegetables were cooking, that's the last thing you do is you put the tortillas and then you hold those. You know, when you go into a Mexican restaurant, they have those little tubs with the tortillas in there, and they're wrapped in a towel, and they're warm. Well, you can get those little holders, containers, any store, Bed Bath & Beyond, Target, anywhere, and a restaurant supply store. And then you get your tortillas, you wrap them in a dish towel, and put it inside this container, or you can, if you don't want to do that, you can just wrap them in foil. You know, when you get one off, you throw it in there, and you just put a stack of them in there and bring that to the table. It's and that's what it is in the picture in the magazine here. It's foil, but my wife bought a little container that holds the tortillas. And we're looking forward to doing that this weekend.
All right, here's another one.
Yeah.
Mac, one of the things I love about fajitas is the fact that you could put anything in those things, and they still seem to taste delicious. So I tend to put out other chopped vegetables, mushrooms. I'll do onions a couple different ways and let people kind of prepare what they want. And in addition to that, I'd be curious about the chef's thoughts about this. I normally have a hot plate out so that after you put your stuff together, you can throw your tortilla into the hot plate, get it all hot again, and then go ahead and put it on your plate. Kim?
Great call.
Interesting.
Everybody should take note of that. That's a great idea. And the thing is about fajitas is, yes, you can slice mushrooms, You can do onions a couple of ways. What's your favorite vegetables? Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, what's your favorite? What's your favorite cheese? How much kick? Yep. How much kick do you like in your stuff?
Yeah,
all that.
That's right.
All that.
You can have a pico de gallo with a lot of heavy on the jalapenos, the right. diced jalapenos.
Right, right.
You. It's your imagination that's your limitation.
Right.
So,
it is pretty easy. Most of the work lies in the preparation of everything that goes into a bowl. And I mean, there's a little effort that goes into whatever, if you're making chicken or beef or whatever you're going to prepare.
You know,
but it's not much, right? You're sauteing
yes.
stuff essentially, and then putting it out. And so it's easy, fun. It's kind of fun food, you know, made for watching sports and other things like that.
Exactly. And you have a big table with all this foods and people can go by and you push in a plate and help themselves. I mean, you can do the Mexican rice, Spanish rice, and you can do refried beans. And the key, I wanted to tell you earlier, the key to great refried beans, and you'll only get it in good Mexican joints.
Yes.
They use lard.
Real lard?
They use lard in cooking their beans. That's why they're so damn delicious. And this is not, it's not a diet food. Refried beans.
Stay away from it.
It's not. No, I'd go right for it. That.
Well, if you're trying to lose weight, you might have to do a little bit extra cardio that day.
Yes, yes, you did. You probably will, but before and after.
Nice.
But
nice.
Yeah, it's great Mexican food, and there's so many things you can do. Enchiladas, you can bake them off, and you just pull them out, and dish them up.
Right.
Oh my gosh! It knock yourself out, folks.
Right. Again, so most people should be able to find this in either a Barnes & Noble, Cook's Illustrated, this version. And what's the title of it again?
It's called Mexican Favorites.
Mexican Favorites.
Includes everything from fajitas, enchiladas, tacos, tamales, soups, sides, salsas, and desserts. And
love it.
It's just magnificent book, magazine, and anywhere that sells magazines usually has this. Beth found this in the grocery store in their magazine rack. But Barnes & Noble's absolutely will have everything.
Got it. All right, sir.
Yeah.
First of all, happy May 17th to you. Have a great weekend. And
yes, you too. Thank you so much. Enjoy your Mexican food, my man.
I will.
Congratulations on Patrick's engagement.
Yeah,
that is huge.
Do you have his cell number, or do you want me to text it to you?
Yes, I do have it.
I know he would love to hear from me.
I will call P. Diddy.
P. Diddy. All right. All right, bud. Have a good day.
You too. All the best.
There you go. That is the one and only Almarine Radio Head Chef right here on a Friday edition of this program. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, finish things up. More of Almarine Radio coming up next today on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. That'll do it. That's all she wrote. If you're just tuning in, don't touch that dial. Good morning to you. Or good afternoon to you, wherever the hell you are. Hope you have a great weekend. If you have not listened to it, some good stuff this week. Start with Gerald Van Riper. Yeah, that was above average. The other thing I would tell you to listen to Grant Newsham, who was on Tuesday, I think. The other thing is, if you haven't listened to a thing that I played, and it was from last week, it's entitled News and Commentary, Chairman Dunford in His Own Words to the Senate Appropriations Committee, U.S. Must Remain in Afghanistan. Give that a listen too, as well. All right? I love everything I do, but I would tell you, don't miss out on that. Don't miss out on that stuff. Grant Newsham was great. Gerald Van Riper, off the hook, great. And the first in a series called On Discipline that we'll do here. And I share that. It's an important discussion. And again, not only, I mean, schools need to have it too. What is discipline? You can't function without it. How do we teach it? How do we do it? All right. And then, I mean, it's probably got to be explained to young people. These are the rules. And look, I know this is hard, but the whole world can't revolve around your feelings. Life doesn't revolve around only your feelings. There's certainly a component, but so anyway, give those a listen. If you're just tuning in, you'll hear the news. Talk about today, a United States Navy SEAL with 16 years experience pled guilty to a variety of charges and will spend 1 year in prison for his involvement in the death of Green Beret Staff Sergeant by the name of Logan Melger. So we'll talk about that. Staff Sergeant Melger's wife was forgiving at the sentencing yesterday. His mother was not. And the bottom line is, lack of discipline, lack of leadership, somebody's dead. Stupid. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about a story that is in the news. In my opinion, it's stupid. From Paris Island. And that is a series. What they don't put up front is, I want to say that the 7 incidents over 3 or 4 years, right? It's stupid. So what does that mean? What it means is things are going pretty good. And look, I don't believe in anything other than the truth. But, you know, if you go to, and in fact, I'll do it right here. Dan Lamothe, Washington Post, who writes the initial article. All right. Let me just scan the article. Let me give you okay, so investigators found numerous incidents in which recruits have been abused by Marines training them, despite efforts by the Marine Corps leaders to stamp out the problem following the death of a 20-year-old trainee, Private Raheel Siddiqui, in 2016. All right, so According to the article, 8 drill instructors and some officers were disciplined. Okay? Now, let me find the time period. The lead, right? The lead event in this hazing issue is this. Investigators examined numerous allegations against drill instructors in the battalion, 4th Battalion's Papa Company, including in one case where a recruit's tooth was chipped. And then what they do is they take the statements of the recruits. Now, but here's the point I want to make. The Post obtained documents outlining more than 20 other substantiated hazing and abuse cases at Parris Island and the service's West Coast Recruit Training Center in San Diego that spanned the past 7 years. So that's both recruit depots, 20 allegations in 7 years. 2 point what? Per year? The story that ought to come out of that is that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So you see hazing used twice in headlines today. One is the murder of a Green Beret staff sergeant is labeled as hazing. And this stuff is said to be hazing. I know what hazing is. Murder isn't hazing. Right, and somebody getting their tooth chipped isn't hazing either. It could be, but it wouldn't. But you want to know, that's what sells. That's what sells. In fact, if you look at, I'd be curious, what percentage of news headlines involve social media issues that are kind of hot buttons. You know, hot button issues. Marine Corps hazing. Boom. Headline. SEAL war crime. Boom. Headline. So anyway, have a great day on a Friday. All Marine Radio is about to be over and out with a friendly reminder. Listen to the General Van Riper interview and share it with people. It's good stuff. Have a great weekend. Congratulations again to my number 2 son, Patrick Francis McNamara, for getting engaged to the lovely Sarah. Don't screw it up, Patrick. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. All Marine Radio, over and out. Thank you.